Would you now take a copy of the word of the Lord and turn to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, we've come to the end and last Lord's Day, we at the end of chapter 16, we came to the last part of the fourth section, the fifth section of the book of Revelation. Now we start the sixth section of this book, where it is teaching us about the victory of Christ and the church over Satan and all evil. So Revelation 17, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. This is the word of the Lord. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here. I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly." That is God's word. So we do come to the sixth of seven sections of Revelation, chapters 17 through 19. And so far we have seen in the past few chapters, the past couple sections, the five enemies of Christ. Remember the first part of Revelation, we were looking primarily at the church and the people in the world, and that confrontation, the enmity, the hostility that there is between the seed of the woman, the seed of Satan. And then the second half, we've been looking at these enemies of Christ. And that is the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the harlot, and the men who bear the mark of the beast. And we have also seen what happens to the men who receive the mark of the beast in the last two chapters. The bowls of wrath are poured out upon them, and they are destroyed completely. But now as we come to chapter 17 and 18, this present vision shows us what happens to the harlot, Babylon, the beast, and the false prophet. The only other one now then after that will be defeated is the dragon, Satan, in chapter 20. So as we turn to these six verses of chapter 17, we see one of the seven angels from the last two chapters, the bowls of wrath, the angels that poured the bowls of wrath out. One of those angels comes to John. This indicates great wrath, because these are the angels who poured forth the wrath through the bowls. So indicating a great wrath about to come. And the angel tells John that the judgment of the harlot is about to take place. And John is carried away into a wilderness. The same wilderness where the woman, the church, fled to, away from the dragon in chapter 12. But here is a different woman sitting on a beast, and the woman she's dressed like a harlot, a prostitute, and in her hand she holds a cup of abominations. On her forehead is written, in verse 5, "Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." And she's found by John to be drunk with the blood of the saints and the witnesses of Jesus. Not grasping what all this means, the angel explains all this to John, and what we'll see, Lord willing, next Lord's Day in the verses that follow, verse 6. But this harlot is evidently Babylon. But what does Babylon and the harlot represent? What does it symbolize? Because this is a book not of literal, but it's a book of symbolism, apocalyptic literature. And so we must bear in mind here that the Babylon is called the Great Harlot. in which that indicates to us that she eludes and tempts and seduces and draws people away from God. And so that's all, that's what a harlot does. That's just a normal harlot in our society, in our world, throughout all of history. That's what a harlot does, and this is what this great harlot does. She draws people away from God. And Babylon itself is the name of the worldly city that we find in the Old Testament. It should remind us of that pleasure-mad, arrogant, presumptuous people of Babylon of old. The center of wickedness and seduction. And the world center at that time of industry, commerce, art, culture, whatever, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And all these things seek to entice and seduce the believer to turn away from God. So the things of the world, seducing things to turn people away from God. Babylon is here to be viewed as past, present, and future. It's not only future. Its form changes, but its essence remains the same. And so closely is the harlot Babylon associated with the beast that she's sitting on him. The beast is the entire anti-Christian persecution movement throughout history, embodied in successive world empires. The beast also represents past, present, and future. And so thus we can conclude that the harlot also represents the world as the center of anti-Christian seduction at any moment in history. And so here, for John, it's right for him to see it as Rome. The scripture shows that very clearly because of his day. Before that, it was Babylon. Before that, it was other nations. Today, it's the same thing happening in our time. Though I won't say which nations because God doesn't say which nations. But it's happening today through world empires. And so, but also this Babylon, the harlot, persecutes the church. For she holds in her hand the cup that bears the blood of the saints and witnesses of Jesus. And so, beloved, what we have here again is the description of the harlot, a seductress of the world that entices and seduces believers to turn from God. Or at least those of the church to turn from God. And so it would be right as we've and righteous, it would be righteous for us and good, as we've seen in other parts of Scripture, to be very careful of the things of the world and the people of the world and the desires of the world and turn to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace in giving us these things, this word of yours, breathing it out to us that we can hear and believe and obey. Father, we pray that that would be true of us, that you'd be glorified in all things through our worship, through the reading of this book of Revelation, that you would, as we've seen here, at least a description of the harlot, so that next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll read and we'll see how this harlot, this Babylon, is destroyed. That is, that the world that we live in, that continues to try to seduce us and tempt us, your church, your people, to turn away from you, that it will be destroyed in the end. And Father, we do praise you for that, because we know, as we go out into the world, each day there are many temptations and seductresses and harlots that would want to gain our hearts and turn them away from you. Father, we pray that you would protect us and keep us, that you would watch over our minds, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, not to completely close us off from the world and yet and still allow us to proclaim the gospel to those who don't know you. And yet, Lord, we ask that as we are tempted, and as we hear things, as we see things, we would turn from all evil and all sin and turn to you. that we would cry out to you at all times, praying unceasingly, that you would keep us, that you would protect us from this world. Lord, we know that there is that enmity and that hostility between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. Lord, give us clarity concerning that. Make it evident and realize that we will be persecuted in this world. We will suffer. If we are heirs of Christ, we will suffer. Lord, cause us to suffer well and glorify you while doing it. To the end that you would be glorified, that we would enjoy you through it, because we know that through trials and struggles, you are disciplining us and training us, rebuking us, correcting us. That we'd be useful for you. So Lord, make it so. Be faithful to your promises. And Lord, we ask that you would heal our souls and our minds. That you'd make us a new creation. You'd tear off the old garments and put on the new ones. And give us faith. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.